your siesta? Yeah, I got several verses that says, awake! These kind of microphones remind you of the old radio microphones they used to have. Dating myself. I always remember the one with Curly Moe and Larry when they were pretending to be Hitler. Remember seeing that when they're on the balcony and Curly's going, M-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l-l- Remember the great one, Bevla? Great heroes of the faith. Okay, Ephesians 1. Okay, an English grammar teacher would have a fun time putting red ink all over this chapter. Or at least think so. Because Ephesians 1, verse 1 and 2 is one sentence. Verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, one sentence. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, third sentence. 13, 14, fourth sentence. 15 all the way to the end, fifth sentence. That's it. One thing I always got in my English, writing papers, run-on sentence. That's a run-on. I'd kept running on. I didn't think they liked jogging. Okay, so that's five sentences. You got 23 verses broken up, but there are only five sentences. Verse 15 down to 23 is the first great prayer in the letter. Chapter 3, verse 14 down to 19 is the second great prayer. Okay, so we kind of went through 4 and 5 last week and touched on Calvinism. So let's go ahead and pray and help us get through this. Lord, I do pray you'd help us now. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is wanting a nap. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. And I just pray you'd help us concentrate on your words. And might give us some things out of here. It'd be a blessing if we can pay attention to your words. And Lord, I just thank you for a blessed book you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, a couple announcements. I always forget announcements. If some afterwards could help them pick up the table, it'd be a blessing to them, to the Yanceys. And Wednesday, 5:30, there's a hearing in Lake County Courthouse Building somewhere. You might want to get in contact with Dick Otterman, and it's about their sign they have on 65. So if anybody can go at that time, I think it'd be a big encouragement to them. So that'd be Wednesday, 5:30 up at Lake County Courthouse. And so somebody don't like the sign, Jesus is real and hell is real. It must be bothering them. So if you would be praying about that, if you can't go, if you can go, it'd be a blessing to them. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, a couple thoughts in there. Already hit the idea of chosen, already hit the idea of predestination, but there's a word in there, adoption. An adoption in there. Okay, and as a result of salvation, you've not only been born of God, you've been adopted by God. Prior to that, according to Ephesians 2, you see a different type of heritage there. In Ephesians 2, you have children of disobedience, verse 2. Verse 3, children of wrath. And then John 8, children of the devil. Okay, and so you switch families. And so if any of us parents, if somebody stole your child, kidnapped your child, whatnot, no doubt you'd be upset, no doubt you'd do something about it. And so one of the reasons why Satan pesters believers is because we're in the business of kidnapping his kids, getting them adopted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that when it's an actual, you know, maybe a flesh and blood kid of his, then he really gets upset. You know, when you're some of the, you know, real big satanic types, you know, get saved, that really upsets them. Okay, and so we've been adopted. Verse 6, accepted. Accepted in the beloved. Okay, it's a common thought amongst young people about peer pressure, wanting to be accepted. Of course, you're seeing them nowadays where a lot of kids evidently wanted to grow up to be porcupines because they got their hair sticking straight up. And then if you look at them, they look at you like, say, what are you looking at? I'm looking at you. What do you think I'm looking at? Okay, I mean, isn't that what you want anyway? Okay, but, you know, being accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be good enough. I mean, I've been accepted by Jesus Christ. A lot of people join, a lot of young people in the inner cities join a gang because they feel accepted. I remember one of the girls in a gang was in Chicago. If they'd had pizza, like for in Sunday school class or in the afternoon program, she'd demand to get the box to read the ingredients because her gang would not allow eating of pork. Must have been a, I don't know, Jewish gang. I don't know what it was. Dark Jew, I don't know. but, I mean, that was how loyal she was to her gang. Okay, and why? Because she felt accepted. Okay, verse 6, how much better can you get it to be accepted in the beloved by Jesus Christ? Can't get any better than that. Okay, so you've been accepted by him. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Okay, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, there are several verses that parallel Colossians. If you would look in Colossians 1, verse 4. Colossians 1, verse 4. Many of the same things that Paul wrote to the people in Ephesus, he wrote to the people in Colossae. Colossians 1, 14, what I meant to say. Okay, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, in the Old Testament, they had forgiveness of sins as a result of these sacrifices. They did not have redemption. They had forgiveness, they had remission, they did not have redemption. Redemption is being bought back, paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered. The sign and the sealing part is in Ephesians 1, 12, and 13. We'll get more into that one as we get there. So in the Old Testament, they had forgiveness, they had a remission of sins, but in the New Testament, as a result of Jesus Christ's blood, we have redemption of sins. And in this culture, people do not understand what redemption is. Prior to the fiat currency that the Federal Reserve published and, you know, started publishing in the 1930s, Americans, even at that time, understood redemption. You can take a piece of paper, worthless paper, take it to a bank and get redeemed, get the silver or gold coin of value. Now people don't understand that at all. Okay, then, and they definitely could not back in the 1930s what's being taken place right now because people back then at least understood redemption. Now, the best way to figure out the money thing is back in the 1960s, in the early 1960s when JFK was president, there were three $5 bills that was legal tender. Three different types. They looked similar, but there were some unique differences. One was a United States note that was printed by JFK. That's what LBJ took off the market as soon as he became, you know, took the oath under a missal or on a missal as a, you know, not a Bible. Okay, and then they had the Federal Reserve note. Then they had a silver certificate. That's the three different types of currency that was accepted in the early 1960s for payment in debt. Okay, now we just have one type of currency, the Federal Reserve note. Okay, and so that's because it's got a monopoly on there. Okay, back in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Okay, that grace is mentioned again in chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, in chapter 2, verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, in eternity, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Throughout eternity, God is going to brag about his grace that he's given to you and I. Justly so. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 might help with this one. Ephesians 5, verse 14. He says, wherefore, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Okay, that didn't got nothing to do with that. I just wanted to read that one. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 7 again. Okay, 1, verse 7. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay, all wisdom, prudence. Prudence is a good word. Today it's got a negative connotation. He's an old prude. Okay, and a prudence is somebody who has studied something out. They see the flaws, and somebody may give a whole hour spiel of trying to get their way, but if you point out this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, then, oh, you're an old prude. No, I'm just pointing out the errors, the flaws. Okay, and you got to do that. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Proverbs 2, verse 11 talks about prudence. And the thing is, we want to be prudent about something, about knowledge, about wisdom. Okay, here's the word discretion, which is similar to prudence. Okay, Proverbs 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Okay, discretion and prudence are very similar. Prudence is understanding that you can see the beforehand some things that you're going to possibly experience. Example, Luke was thinking about buying cars. So he asked me about that, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea. You can do that, buy cars, sell cars, stuff like that, maybe on eBay. But then it quickly dawned on me, okay, how you buy a car and sell a car today? Got to get a license. If you don't get a license, you got to pay the sales tax. Got to make sure it's insured. And you got to make sure you get plates. All four of those are government intervention. It's just satisfying some scumbag that says you got to get all these things. How should it be done in a society of freedom? You see a car, you go buy it, get a bill of sale. Bill of sale is proof of ownership. Travel to where you want with it. Get to the customer that wants to buy it. Give him a bill of sale, exchange the currency. Nobody gets a cut out of anything. That's liberty. But you can't do that today. Somebody's got their hand in the till. Okay, and that's how it goes. And you'll find that in home buying, probably 30 to 40% of the cost of your house is because of some government intervention. You can do it with cars, you can do it with house, you can do it with anything. Selling of auto parts, sales tax, stuck in there. You always got to satisfy some clown who wants to get something for nothing. Okay, and so when you start want to get into some adventure, some idea, then you got to try to look at it with prudence, and you got to try to weigh the good, the evil. You got to try to figure out, okay, the long term, this, that, you know, and really search it out. And the problem is, a lot of times we get hoodwinked about something, we get taken about something, and that's how you learn. And that's what's called the college tuition of the life of hard knocks. Okay, and that's the tough thing about it. So when he throws in prudence, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mysterious thing about God's will, a lot of people think that God's will is something that, you just got to get in some spiritual state in order to find it, you know, some mysterious thing, and it's not there. But you see, fulfilling God's will for your life, if that is your heart's desire, you cannot miss the will of God. If that is your heart's desire to please God, any child that wants to obey their parent, the parent is wrong if the parent doesn't explain what they want the child to do. And so when you want to fulfill the will of God, whatever the will of God is for your life, whether it's the directive will of God or the specific will of God, and if that's your heart's desire, He will make it known in His time. Now, most of the time in Bible colleges, when people talk about the will of God, what they are talking about is geographically, where am I going to do this will of God? If a person is not trying to fulfill the word of God where they are at that moment, forget about geographically going someplace else. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do here, you will not do what you're supposed to do there. I'm just talking to Brother Dan a little bit about Ukraine, and he can name, 11 missionaries in that area? And probably 5 of them don't even go to church. You know? And then he's got, was in the church, and now he comes home, and now the church is gone. I mean, he can't go back to his own church that he was working in. That's the frustration of the age of apostasy. You see, and what are these missionaries doing there? Getting on a computer, playing computer games, trying to figure out how some way they can come back and tell what the great thing's going on in order to keep their support up. It's the games they play. Okay, and of course, that's why, obviously we tried to weed that out. When I first came here, we had several missionaries. And so I started writing the missionaries that this church supported, knew I couldn't get rid of the ones I wanted to get rid of right off the bat, but I started writing them, asked them certain questions, and we found one guy hadn't been preaching for 2 years. Doing nothing for 2 years, taking a check from the church. Found out one guy was a New American Standard guy, kind of into Calvinist. And so, I asked them certain questions where I knew the answers would expose them. And so we dumped 3 of them just like that after you saw what's going on there. And then I divided my time, waited another 3 years and tried it again and then revealed some more that was going on. But you see, that's what's going on. Okay, so the mystery of His will, if your heart's desire is to fulfill His will make it known to you. Okay, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Okay, a verse that probably help with that is in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Make sure you get that first word. It's got nothing to do with Ephesians 1. Says, awake, right there, to righteousness. You say, what are you doing that for? Keep myself awake. Come down at 6 o'clock. That means watch me on the platform going, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. Okay, back in Ephesians 1, brief commercial. Okay, and in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Okay, there's the second occurrence of the word dispensation in the Bible chronologically, if I recall that right. Okay, the first is in 1 Corinthians 9:17, then this one, then you got one in Ephesians 3, and one in Colossians 1. Okay, dispensation, it's a dispensing. Dispensing of something. Go to the bathroom, you got the paper towel dispenser. Okay, it's dispensing something. In this idea, context, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, dispensing of God's will, verse 3, throughout time, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. During the millennium, whatnot, in the future, in eternity, Everything will be brought into Jesus Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay, in heaven and on earth, didn't say in earth, because what's in the side of the earth, hell, will not be put in Christ. Okay, and so the dispensing of God's will, it's that, trying to figure out God's timetable. There are some things that God is very predictable about. There are some things the devil is very predictable about. The devil is, as God, deal with preciseness of numbers. The devil is someone who deals with symbolism. Okay, where he says, I will be like the Most High. So often what a believer does, a believer tries to sometimes do something that honors God or brings memories of people to God, where if you travel some places in America, you'll see some sort of Christian symbolism. A plaque, something about Moses, about Abraham or about the Bible. Okay, remember that judge down in Alabama that had the Ten Commandments laid in the courthouse, and of course they, that was unconstitutional. Okay, what is that? That's Christianity. Now, the devil does the same thing. A lot of times, the devil's crowd, they get rich and famous. They ask the devil for wealth and fame because he is a trafficker of merchandise. Ezekiel 28. And if you look at many of the major corporations, many large businesses, they will have symbols. Maybe unbeknownst to them, it may be purposeful, that will be something to honor their god, Satan. You may see an inverted star sometimes. You may see an owl in there somewhere. You may see a round O, like mobile gasoline, or Lucent Technologies with the red O. That's a worship of Satan. You may see them where they'll actually come out and have the name on their Nike of their god, Peter Pan. Okay? The god Pan. You open up Pandora's box. Sometimes you'll see their symbols. If you have a New King James Version, look on the title page and you'll see 666 in their symbol. You'll see a bunch of New Age movements will use the same symbol. 666. Some people use those numbers or those symbols because they think they look pretty, because they just think, oh, that's neat. They don't know what the symbols are. Last time we was down in Pensacola, we stayed at Pensacola Christian College, a little motel they have there, and I saw a picture on the wall, and it had that 666 emblem in their picture. I doubt they knew that. I don't think they're secret Satan worshipers there. They just didn't realize that. Did somebody at Thomas Nelson Publishers know what that meant? It's hard to say. Okay, but you'll find them everywhere. You can get on the internet, type in satanic symbols, and they'll run. Some people have done extensive studies on these things. A guy named Al O'Neill was one fellow that traveled throughout America, and he would show Christian symbolism right beside satanic stuff like Nashville, Tennessee, where they have a little statue of Nike, the god, right there. And, of course, our state, Indiana, or shall we pronounce it in Diana, the god Diana. Pennsylvania, Penn, William Penn, Christian. Transylvania, Satan. Pennsylvania has a highway titled 666, goes from one place and travels through a city called Trumanage. Harry Truman, 33rd degree Mason. Then if you hit the Highway 66 and down in New Mexico, and it comes up into Colorado, and it comes across into the state of Utah and lands at Monticello, I think it's called, Thomas Jefferson's place, Monticello. They have recently changed that highway number 666 to a different number. Just recently, the congressman down in that area did that. And so you're going to find that all over the place in our country. Why? It's because the devil's crowd honors their god as God's crowd honors him. Okay, and so in this dispensation, the fullness of times, as far as God working his time period out, his calendar is right on schedule. And evidently God hasn't read the literature I've read, because Jesus was supposed to come back in 1996. Well, the first time was 88, then 96, then 2000, and still hadn't read that stuff. I'm going to have to inform the Lord about that. Okay, but then now people are saying that the Mayan calendar ends at 2012. And so Planet X is getting close to them, the world, and Planet X is going to draw us, you know, into this, you know, great catastrophes. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. To be quite honest with you, I hope it does. Which means we're getting closer. Okay, but then verse 11, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Why? Verse 12, that we should be. Notice, does not say will be. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Okay, and then that's the completion of the sentence. Okay, now Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And somebody would like to stand and read this one? If you're having a hard time sleeping, you might want to stand and read this one. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Okay, it's high time. Wake out of sleep. Time, wake out of sleep. Everybody's awake? Okay, everybody's awake, good. Back in Ephesians 1, verse 13. Okay, Ephesians 1, 12, and 13 are some very clear analogy. We have very clear analogy in our culture about Ephesians 1, 12, and 13 as far as salvation goes. Okay, so we'll read, it says that who first trusted in Christ, verse 12 at the end, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, so that's all one sentence there, and it all goes together, 13 and 14. Okay, what's the process, if you call it a process, and I know that's kind of a tough word to use, but steps, and you know, I don't really like to use the word steps, but what are the parts of God working in somebody's life to bring salvation to them? Okay, verse 13, well, verse 12, you see salvation is trusting in Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after. What occurs before trust? After you heard something. The word of the truth. What is that something that you hear? Specifically, the gospel of your salvation. So you hear the gospel story, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Okay, so you hear the gospel story, and you may hear other truths in the Bible that the Spirit of God may want you to hear before the gospel story. Maybe some street preacher preaching on a corner, maybe somebody using a Bible reference, exposing a flaw in your life, revealing that you're a sinner. So it's not just the gospel story in some cases where other truths are revealed to a person. Okay, so after you heard the gospel, after you heard the word of the truth, it says also after that you believed. Okay, there's the faith, the belief. People say, well, where's repentance in there? That's all wrapped in there. Faith, belief, repentance. What happens after you believed? You're sealed. Sealed by who? The Holy Spirit of promise. For how long? Ephesians 4:30, that one you can turn to, that one does apply. That one doesn't have the word awake in it. Okay, so that one says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, that redemption is a redemption of the body. Okay, so you hear the gospel, the word of the truth, you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and notice that he is called, verse 14, the earnest. The earnest. Okay, if you've ever bought a house, you throw down or lay down or write down a check, and that check, when you make the offer, you write a check out, that money is called earnest money. Okay, earnest money or down payment money. That earnest money is a promise that you're going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. Okay, now throw that in with salvation. You hear the word of the truth, the gospel, you believe it, you're sealed. God put the earnest down payment in you, sealed you for how long? The day of closing. When's that? When you see Jesus Christ, you'll be like him. The day of redemption, the redemption of your body, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. That the Spirit of God put in the believer's body is God's earnest money. Verse 14, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. He purchased you and I, paid for you, bought you. Okay, but your body's falling apart. Your body is still dying. It's in a dying process. You know, it's been crucified, whatever you want to go on at. Okay, he's waiting to redeem your body, to buy it, and the promise is the Spirit of God in your body. That's God's earnest money. Unto the praise of his glory. Okay, that is the promise. Okay, if you would, go back up to Romans chapter 8. This one does apply as the baptistry's stomach is gurgling. Heidi was so happy that didn't do that during the wedding. I didn't hear that gurgle. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice sanctified is skipped in verse 30. The big three usually goes justified, sanctified, glorified. Justified, sanctified is skipped. Why? It's because when you are justified, you are promised to be glorified. You are promised that. You will be like Jesus Christ. That's eternal security. Okay, that's the eternal security. That's the seal that Ephesians 1, verse 13 is talking about. The seal unto the day of redemption. Okay, that's the promise there. And that's how it's laid out by the Lord. And so as he has promised through the Spirit of God to purchase, complete the purchase on the day of closing. You know, these folks that believe that a born-again believer can get on born again, I don't get it. It says that you can bring when a sinner repents, it brings rejoicing in heaven. Get saved on Sunday, lose on Monday, get saved on Tuesday, lose on Wednesday, get saved on Thursday, lose on Thursday. I mean, you can make them up there have a good time, laughing every single day, enjoying themselves. Okay, and so once you're born again, you are born again in Jesus Christ. And then verse 15 down to 23. Okay, before we get there, let's try Joel chapter 3. Proverbs 6:9 is another one? Oh, is it? Proverbs 6:9. Joel chapter 3 is pretty good too. Proverbs 6:9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? when wilt thou rise up? Oh, we got a couple others. Let's see. Psalm 127, verse 1. Let's see that one there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So, okay, I had Joel chapter 3. That proverb's pretty good, too. I had that one. Joel 3. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake up, ye mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares, so forth. Okay. Now I got you awake. We're going to stop verse 15 anyway, because that's a long prayer. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, for your blessings. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to honor your words, and we'd help us to be appreciative of salvation that's full and free in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.